for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday evening, May the 25th, 2003. Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Steve Sellers of Lake Hamilton Bible Camp is the minister on this. First of all, let's base our teachings on Luke chapter 11, on God's Word. I have a lot to say, or let's say the Holy Ghost has a lot to say tonight. As you, if you've been here much longer, I'm a pastor. I have a pastor's heart. So, like Brother Clement, I usually cry sooner more than later. You know, there's lots of times I just cry because I have a compassion for people. I have a pastor's heart. So, out of that, I want to bring the Word of God to you. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 11, starting with verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of the disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. You know, that's amazing. Have you ever been somewhere in a service and somebody gets up to pray and, oh, man, I'd love to pray like them. Amen. And you've been in a service where prayer didn't do you anything? Hello? But Jesus had a prayer that even his disciples, Lord, teach us to pray like that. That's what I want to pray like. Amen? That's what I want to. Now, what instigated that? Let's see. Hallelujah. My eyes are already watering. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And we've heard the Lord's Prayer. All right? We've heard it many times. Verse 5, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. And I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needed. What does that word importunity mean? Persistence. Now, this day and age, if you was to knock on that door like this man knocked on the door, you'd probably be facing down the gun barrel, waking somebody up in the middle of the night for a loaf of bread. Hello. Even if he was your friend. Come on now. But here, Jesus is telling something. That man next door is his friend. And if I need a loaf of bread, is my friend. So if I need a loaf of bread, I know, I don't care what time of the day or night, I can go knock on his door and get it. Isn't that what Jesus just said? Why? Because of he's a friend. Because of the position I have with him. And did you know I know somebody who, a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Woo! Come on, come on. We're building a foundation now. Thank you, Lord. Teach us to pray. You know, something sparked that desire. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, help me now tonight. Help me tonight, Lord. All right. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Glory to God. God is good. And all the time. Thank you, Lord. Verse 7. Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions. Did Jesus ever say, you have not because you ask not? Yes, he said that. But did he say, you have not because you didn't ask enough? Hello? Amen. He didn't say that. Vain repetitions.
Amen? As the heathen do. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them. For your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you even ask Him. But our problem is, you know, we preach about prayer. We put on prayer seminars, even as prayer is a subject in all the Bible schools. And we have prayer classes, prayer days, that we come and have prayer meetings, and yet we still don't pray enough. Can I hear an amen on that?
Amen.
You know, we've had 5 kids. We sold them all but one. Almost there, right? Just about. I got 11 grandkids. And but did you know, when each one of those kids found a girlfriend or a boyfriend, they were on the phone all the time. I mean, they could be on the phone all the time and writing letters at the same time. Hello? How many parents know what I'm talking about? And it seemed like they could talk 24 hours a day and not have enough to say. I mean, not have enough time to say it in. They're always... Why can't we fall in love with Jesus the same way? Come on. When we came down to the altar and we gave our life to Him, it was like a marriage. It's a covenant between us and the Father. We need to communicate to Him like them. Smith Wigglesworth, he said, you know, he never prays over 15 minutes. But he says he never goes 15 minutes without praying. He's continually in a state of prayer. That's walking in the Spirit. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. We need to know who Jesus, you know, Jesus asked the disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? You know, that's funny how Jesus, a lot of times, He'll ask a question and give you the answer in the same question. I give to you life and death. Choose life. You know? Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And then He turned it on them. Who do you say that I am? Ask yourself that question tonight. Who is Jesus to you? Who is He? Is He your Walmart when you have a need? Come on. Once a week, you go to Walmart to get your groceries or whatever. Is He your Lowe's just when you need a rebuilding job? What is Jesus to you? He ought to breathe, like that song that I heard sang. Y'all hear it. He's the breath I breathe. He is the song I sing. Amen. He should be everything to you. He's the chemicals in my eyes that helps me see you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Without Him, I am nothing. Hallelujah. Knowledge of your Heavenly Father will affect your prayer life. Too many times when people get saved, we go to them now the devil's going to do this to you. The devil's going to try this. He's going to try that. And we introduce them to the devil. They've been serving the devil. We need to introduce them to the Father. Amen. They don't know who the Father is. Let's introduce them to the Father and to the Son of the Father. Amen? Get them to know the Father, because you didn't get saved. You did not get saved because you fell in love with God or Jesus. You got saved because you found out He loves you. Amen? Now let's tell them how much who the Father is. Amen? Will that knowledge of your Heavenly Father have an impact on your life, on your prayer life? If you was to know Jesus so intimate as you did your husband and wife, your boyfriend and girlfriend, if your knowledge of the Father increased that much, would you talk to Him that much too? I believe it would. My people perish for lack of, we need to know the Father. Amen? Hallelujah. If you had more knowledge of the Father, would you pray more often? Amen. Prayer is just not a gimme, 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 my name is Jimmy. Prayer is communication. Sometimes prayer can be just, Lord, I love you. Amen. There's this little story about a little man, a guy walking down the street, goes into a church, he kneels down. Jesus, this is Jimmy. He don't know how to pray, so that's all he says. Gets back up and goes on. Every day, comes by, Jesus, this is Jimmy. Every day. Pretty soon he gets, I don't know exactly how it goes, but down the roads, somewhere, he gets down to pray, and he just real quiet. And somebody hears, Jimmy, this is Jesus. Amen. We need to know the Father in a close relationship. Just like because that friend next door, the relationship, the position I have with him, he'll give me whatever I need. The closer relationship you have with the Father, the more of your needs are going to be met. Because your next door neighbor, the Heavenly Father, has everything that you have need of. All you got to do is ask. Amen? Now, if you knew the Father well enough, you wouldn't hesitate to go ask. Hello?
Yeah. Yeah.
And in fact, you know, we've lived in a place where we enjoyed the neighbor so much, a lot of times we stayed over there more than we did at home. Hello? Yeah. Amen? You know, have you ever gone to somebody's house and want to leave right away? Hallelujah. I got a lot to say. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry, but I'm sorry that the sun's going down. Let me put it that way. Son, be still. Christopher come up to us. We were standing somewhere the other day, and Chris and Jackie and I were somewhere, and he was bragging about how his mama loved him. And he says, I shine so much that my mom calls me son. Oh, man. Hey, hallelujah. 1 John 5:14. The more you know about your Heavenly Father will enhance your prayer life. Amen. Verse 14. Let's turn there right quick. I have some scriptures I want to turn there. Oh, hallelujah. 1 John 5:14. And this is the what? This is the what?
Confidence.
What's confidence? Assurance. You know, just like you go next door and knock on the door for some bread, you have confidence that he's got the bread you need. Or else you wouldn't be knocking on his door. Hello?
Amen.
That's the same way with the Heavenly Father. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Now, there's this little thing in there that we overlook. It has to be according to his will. You know, I've heard this song that says God's best gift is unanswered prayers. Sometimes God's best is an unanswered prayer. We pray for things that God knows is not good for us. You know the scripture that says, be faithful in little and he will make you ruler over many? You know, I believe that has a lot to do with our finances. You know, as a pastor of the church, there was one time, people who come, you know, you always get these beggars. What do you want me to call them? Needy people. Okay. But 90% of them are just beggars. They will tell you all kinds of scams. Amen. My child can only drink goat's milk. Well, I've heard that. That may be true. And so she'll drive 30 miles to get $10. The church, when I first went there, they had a form that each people who come for needs would fill out. I promise not to use this money for tobacco, alcohol, drugs, or any such whatever. I don't remember the exact thing I said. This lady came in and she was across town. She wanted $10 for something. I don't remember what it was. And you could just tell it wasn't, wasn't right. So she came to church. She came to the parsonage. And whenever she drove up, I went in the back. My wife had her fill out the form. She got the $10, left. When she drove out of the parking lot, I drove around the house, and I followed her. She stopped at the first get-and-go, walked in, asked for a carton of cigarettes. I walked in, got a Coke, walked up to the counter. She's paying for this carton of cigarettes. And I said, man, you're on a fast road to hell, aren't you? I said that. And the lady behind the counter said, what? How can you say that? And I said, this lady just went to church and signed a piece of paper saying that she would not use this money for that stuff right there. Come on, people. You know what? The first thing I ask people who ask for needs, what church do you go to? Well, let me call your pastor and ask him if he's heard from you. Well, never mind. Maybe I'll, Hello? You know, even the world knows that the church has what they need. Oh, no. She has to live with that guilt. Oh, no.
Keep the cigarette?
Oh, of course. Of course, I would have been illegal by taking it back after that, you know. So I couldn't do that. Hebrews 13:5, our Father will never leave us nor forsake us. How many believe that? Then why is it some of your prayers is, God, where are you? Hello? If you really believe that your Heavenly Father will never leave you nor forsake you, then why is it we pray that sometimes? Amen. The reason people are perishing for lack of knowledge, because we don't know who our Father is. As long as we've been in the church already, we still don't know who our Father is, do we? Oh, we can only get to know Him through the Word, by this right here. Like He told Elijah, or was it Elijah? Eat it. Elisha or Elijah, one of them, the prophets. Take my word. Take this and scroll and eat it. Amen. We need to devour this word as if we're going to die if we don't get it. Amen. People on fasting, you know, I tell everybody I'm on two diets because one of them won't fill me up. Some of you got it. Hallelujah. Hebrews 10:23 says, hold fast. Hold fast, which means it's a possibility of being taken away from. Come on. There's a possibility of it being taken from you. His faithfulness helps me to hold fast to my faith. God's faithfulness. Did you know there's two people that are, or three or whatever you want. Whatever. You know, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, isn't He? Did you know the devil is too? Hello? I'll show it to you in Scripture if we get there. Knowing how God forgave me helps me know how to forgive others. If you're not forgiving others, then maybe you need to ask God to forgive you. Come on. We need to know who our Father is. He is a forgiver of sins. He's a healer. Amen? Healer of the body, mind, and soul. Amen. John 13:34, a new commandment I give you, to love one another as Christ loved the church. He gave His life for it. Amen? Your knowledge of your Father will change how you respond to people. You know why? Because you know, the more you know about the Father, the more you'll know about your enemy. Which is not people, it's the devil. We get mad at people whenever it's Satan being used through them. Just like Satan uses us against other people sometimes. Hello? Let's be honest. Hallelujah. Your knowledge of your Father will change how you respond to people, how you respond to problems, and how you will respond to the promises of God. Amen. Come on, people. Let's go. Let's go with this. Let's get to know the Father like we've never known Him before in our life. Amen. If your knowledge about your Heavenly Father affects us that much, don't you think the knowledge of who you are in relation to the Father should impact your prayer life also?
Amen.
Amen. Come on. We're going somewhere. Right?
Amen.
We're going somewhere, and the gates of hell are not going to stop us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. If we allow it to, won't it change the way we treat and respond to people, problems, and promises? Who we are in relationship to the Father. This is speaking about righteousness. What is righteousness? Righteousness is the ability to stand in the presence of the Father without sense of guilt, inferiority, as if the sin never happened. Amen?
Amen.
That's righteousness. You've heard the Scripture many, many times. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. But we've got to... You've heard me say this before. That's gotten old. If it's old to you, it's not real. If it's real to you, it'll never get old. Amen? Make the Scriptures become real to you. Dig down in. Study to show yourself approved unto God, not somebody else approved. Hello? A lot of times, you know, that's what we're told to do. Whatever the minister preached on Sunday, go home and study. Make sure it's true, what he said. Well, then what did you do to you then? What did it do to you? Study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman. A workman. In other words, somebody who's working out the word in their life. Like Jackie said, work out that salvation to the outside. You know, we condemn so easy. We judge so easy. Somebody gets down and comes in church and they get saved and they go outside and light up a cigarette and we say they never got it. We shouldn't judge that. That salvation made something new on the inside. They just haven't had the time to work it to the outside yet. Just like a Christian, whenever they get saved, you know how a Christian cusses? They slam the door. Ouch. Come on. We think we're innocent by slamming the door instead of saying blankety blank blank blank. Hello? Amen. Righteousness is the right standing with God. Uprightness, standing upright. Hallelujah. I'm justified. Justified means just as if it never happened. Amen. Hallelujah. And if you know where you stand with God, nothing is impossible with you. Hello? Hallelujah. I have been declared righteousness. I have a good position with God. Boy, you just don't realize how strong of a statement that is. I have a good position with God. Did you know I have a position with my Father, my earthly Father? That I can go to his house and open the door, go in, go to the refrigerator, anywhere I want to go, do anything I want to do, and don't even have to wake him up. Because of my position, I am his son. I have been declared a relative of his. I have been born into his family. Come on. Come on. Now, you don't have that position, world, like I do. But you can be adopted into my family. Come on. We just need to get out there and enlarge the family. Bring them in. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, righteousness is not a thing like faith, healing, prayer, prosperity. It's not a thing. Righteousness is a position so that you can operate in those things. Or so that those things can operate through you. We're a conduit. We're a vessel, he says. Amen. To bless people. But you can't bless people unless you're in the right position. Did you know if my earthly father died, if I wasn't in the right position, I would not inherit his... Hello? Amen. Praise his holy name. Without that position with God, it would be impossible to accomplish faith, healing, prosperity, all those things. It would be impossible for those to be accomplished through you, too. Amen. Jesus came to show us the Father. He said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You hear me, you hear the Father. He did not show us who we are in relationship to him. He always referred to the Father. Amen. In Paul's writings is where we learn our relationship to Christ. In Paul's writing, it is in him, in whom, in Christ. None of those are found in the Gospels. They're found in the epistles. Amen. Jesus always referred to the Father. Righteousness is a position with God the Father. Amen? Through Christ. You cannot get to the Father. You cannot stand in that position without being in Christ. And you cannot be in Christ with sin in your life. Hello? Scripture says there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. In other words, there's nothing impossible to those who are in Christ. Amen. Nothing's impossible. Hallelujah. If you don't walk in this position correctly, then it will affect the way, it will affect the other areas of our life, like how we respond to people, problems, and promises. I have the best parents. My position with them has many benefits. Amen? Listen to this one. Jesus always pleased the Father and never jeopardized His position to Him. Amen? He never jeopardized that position. The benefits were too glorious. Amen? I have benefits that are at my disposal from my dad that you don't have. The key to the door. Cookie jar. Refrigerator. If I didn't have that position, I don't have those rights. I would have to go knock. Amen? If you want these benefits, hallelujah, you've got to know the Father. It's like too many people are walking a tightrope. They think God's up there, and if you ever do wrong, I'm going to hit you over the head. Hello? People get saved. All right, now you better do right. Now you better. And they make them try to walk a tightrope or, you know, walking an edge or something. But did you know the Father, the more knowledge you have of the Father, the less you worry about that edge that you're walking close to? Because you know you're not going to dash your foot against a stone. Amen. You know that your life is in His hands. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Christians living in sin knows nothing about the subject of righteousness. Righteousness will drive you away from sin, not to it. If you are a Christian and you don't understand your position, because you've never been taught that, you are living on the same realm as an unbeliever. Come on. An unbeliever, if he wants anything from God, he's going to have to go down, kneel down, and just almost beg for something. Hello? Same thing an unbeliever does. If he wants something from God, he's going to have to go find somebody who knows God. Hello? Amen. Hallelujah. Knowledge of the Father will separate you from the world. It will cause you to respond to people, problems, and promises differently. Hallelujah. In 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. My Father thought it so important to become righteous that He gave up His only begotten Son for it. That's how important me becoming righteous is to God. It was so important for God, it was so important to God for me to become righteous that He sent His Son to die for me. That's how important becoming righteousness is. That's how important standing before God without any sin is. Amen. Hallelujah. We can't be delivered unless we are the righteousness of Christ. Amen. The righteousness of God through Christ. You know, I've got a son, but I don't love anybody here enough that I would die or I would let you kill him so that you could have a better standing with me. Boy, you better be glad I'm not God. Come on, thank you. I thought everybody went home. Hallelujah. It was so important that you and I be made righteous and that Jesus allowed Himself to be placed upon the cross. No man took Jesus' life from Him. He gave it up willingly. That's how important it was for you and I to become righteous. Amen. You've been delivered in this camp. Let's stay delivered, like Jackie says. Get that hook out of our jaws and stay redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. God did not make Him go to the cross. Jesus chose to go. No Jew or Roman forced Him to go to the cross.
Amen.
That tells me that righteousness is so important that the benefits must be out of this world. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. An inward hunger for who God is. I have an inward hunger for who God is. Amen? That the reason for so many cults. That's the reason for so many cults. Man was created with a hunger down inside to know a superior being. We are created after the image of God. We have an inside that says there is a God. Did you know there's not going to be any atheists in heaven or hell? Because they're going to believe once they get one way or the other. Amen. But I have a hunger down inside. But did you know that's why there's so many cults in this world? Because they're trying to make themselves righteous. But did you know you cannot do that? Righteousness is not a thing. It's a position that you and I did not earn. It's a gift. Righteousness, being made righteous, is a gift from God Almighty. Hallelujah. Even birds know there are foods out, that knows that there is food out there. Did you know they go look for it? People sit at home saying, I'm waiting for a good job. Well, go out and get it. Come on. If there is a need, there is always an answer. Come on. If there is a need, there's always an answer there. All we've got to do is go get it. Go find it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Amen. The kingdom of God is spiritual realm that God has its head. Amen. The kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of God, is a spiritual realm that has God as its head. The kingdom of darkness is a spiritual realm that has Satan as its head. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His way of working things out. Amen. The kingdom of God is the way God does things. That's a good way to put it. Amen. The kingdom of God is the way God does things. The way God does things is through you and me. That's why He said the kingdom of God is in you. Oh, come on now. Seek first the kingdom of God, His way of doing things and His righteousness. The things that the worldly people desire most would come to you if you would put God's and His righteousness first. Hello? Think about it now. The things that the world desires the most, see, the only thing is they put it first. They don't even think about God supplying their need. They try to steal, kill, and destroy whoever they can to get what they have desire for. And then they got to live with it, that guilt, that sin, whatever. And that's why the richest people in the world die so sad, so tore up inside, because they know what they did to get it. But if you put God and His righteousness first, all those things will be added to you, and the blessings will soon overtake you. You know, overtake means come from behind. That doesn't mean seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness so that you can have things, because that, you'll be looking for the things then. But keep God as number one, and the things will overtake you. They'll come from behind. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. The number one most important thing in our life is to know who your Father is. Say that. Number one is to know who my Father is. Hallelujah. Name some things about your Heavenly Father that you know about from His Word. Name some things. Knowing who we are in our Heavenly Father is number two. Knowing who we are in our Heavenly Father is number two. You never put knowing who your Father is ahead of that. Amen? Just as knowledge of your Heavenly Father changes how you treat others, so also does knowing who you are in Him should change how you treat others. Come on. You know, I've noticed it more, so much more in the last year. And I'm having to keep myself quiet because I say it so much and people are getting tired of me saying it. Quit making other people's problem your problem. Amen. Till we get our feelings hurt because of what somebody else thinks of us. You know why your feelings are hurt? Because you don't know who you are in Christ. Think about it. Hallelujah. Thank you. When you understand how good a position you are in Him with your Heavenly Father, you don't have to use other people as stepping stones. Come on now. You don't have to brag about who you are. The Heavenly Father will promote you in due time. Because you're already in the best position that you can be in. If you're the righteousness of God in Christ, there's no better position that you can be in. I don't care if you're a bench warmer, you don't do anything but come to church, pay your tithes, and witness outside, whatever, you don't do any kind of a ministry in the church. If you're right standing before God, that's the best position you could be in. Because there's a lot of pastors, preaching churches that are not even saved. Your response to problems will change when you know who you are in relationship to Him. Your response to the Word will change. How important is this? 2 Corinthians 5:21, that we be made the righteousness of God in Christ. My Father, my Heavenly Father thought it was important. Jesus thought it was important. The benefits must be great, and we should learn all we can about that. Amen? Hallelujah. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. The things that you seek first will have an impact on what you seek second, third, fourth, and fifth, right on down the line. Come on. Yeah. Things will come easier if He's first. Amen? Hallelujah. Romans 10:3 says, men make their own way to be righteousness. It says, your righteousness is as filthy rags. You know what the Greek or Hebrew words for filthy rags is? It's a dirty menstrual cloth, which means what? It means there's no life, right? Your righteousness has no life to it, is what he's saying. Amen. We need to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and we will have life and life more abundantly. Amen. Hallelujah. All cults is man's way of trying to be righteous. Hallelujah. Romans 5:17, if by one sin came, also by one did life come. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. To reign in life is to be predominant. Amen? Start reading verses that have predominant in them. To have full or superior dominion in life. Hallelujah. That's here and now. Amen? It is so important to know this, that without, you will never reign in life. If you don't know who the Father is and you don't know who you are in the Father, you will not reign in life. You will be the tail and not the head. Amen? A lot of churches are full of beggars. Most healing lines are filled with sick folk who are beggars. If they don't get it here, they'll go somewhere else. Come on. When you know your position in Christ, there are some things that you no longer need to beg for. There, when you know your position in Christ, there are also some things you don't even need to ask for.
Yeah.
Hello? Because your Father knows what you have need of before you ever ask. Tell me something. Does a little baby ask the parents to change its diaper? Because the parents knows it needs changing. And so does everybody around it. Amen. There are some things as the children of God that God automatically, when we're in the right standing, He supplies. Amen. Did you know if you're in the right standing, the devil can't touch you? Hello. I'm talking about the spiritual you. Who brought up Job's name between the conversation in God and the devil? Who brought up Job's name? God did. In the conversation between Jesus, or God and or the devil and Jesus, who brought up Peter's name? Peter did. Amen. Come on, read it. Remember? Jesus told Peter, the devil wishes to sift you. Hello? In a conversation between the devil and Jesus, who would bring up your name? Come on now. Hallelujah. Verse 7. Where am I at? 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Chapter 11. Right. Tell me when I'm running out of time, brother. Verse 22. 11:22. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In strifes, more above measure. Who's talking here? Paul is talking here. Amen. Exalted. We're talking about, okay, I'm trying to hurry. False teachers have moved in, and Paul is attacking them. Paul is telling things that have happened to him that he has never mentioned before. The Galatians were wrote to get them back on grace instead of the law. These false teachers have come in and said, you're disobeying the law. Paul comes in and starts mentioning things that happened to him that he never mentioned before. And then he wrote Galatians to the Galatians because grace. You know what grace is? It's unmerited favor. You know what that is? Oh, we all have it, don't we? Grace is a subject we need to study. I don't want to get off the subject, but we got to go. Notice that righteousness is a gift. Amen? You cannot earn it. You cannot work for it. You're never even promoted to the position of it. It is a gift that God has given us. Righteousness. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. I wanted to go into the Paul's thorn in the flesh, which is not a physical thing. Hallelujah. Before Christ, we all were in the... Any revelation that you receive from God will exalt you beyond measure. Remember the scripture that says, chapter 12, verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure. You know what that is? This is the usual measure. We're all on the same level. But Paul received revelations from Jesus, but there was a messenger sent to Paul to buffet him, lest he be exalted above measure. Now I'm above measure. That's what that means. To keep me down to the level here, Satan beat on me and beat on me and beat on me. That's what buffet means. Blow after blow after blow after blow after blow. And so many blows being hit on me, I can't keep my mind on the revelations that he gave me. Hello? Now you understand in the scripture, it's not a thorn in the flesh, a boil or bad eyesight or nothing like that. It's a messenger from Satan to keep Paul not humbled. The devil doesn't want to humble you. Come on now. He wants to get you in pride. But it's to keep him from sharing those revelations that Jesus gave him about righteousness. Because if we all would just learn about the revelations of righteousness, if we would learn about the right standing before God, boy, the gates of hell would shake. Come on. There would be nothing impossible with those who believe. I mean, this as a group right here, if we would get all in the right standing before God, we could march through the city and our shadows would heal people. Come on. There's nothing that could happen. He does things above and beyond what we imagine or think when we're in the right place with God. Amen. Amen. That's why Jesus, he always referred to the Father, to the Father, to the Father. Because if we just got that revelation, whoo, man, there's nothing could stop us. They could boil you in oil and it wouldn't stop you. Amen. Hallelujah. As soon as you act on those revelations, you will be lifted from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. As soon as you were lifted up and thrown out of the usual, Satan comes to make you sit back down. The word says immediately after the word comes, the destroyer comes to steal the word. You are not a threat to the devil. Surprise, surprise, surprise. It is the word in you that is a threat to the devil. And so immediately when the word comes, he wants to steal the word that was sown in your heart to keep you from being above the world. Come on. Come on now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Are you getting something tonight? Hallelujah. You know why the devil wants you sitting down? Because you're easier to control sitting down than you are standing up. That's why Jesus, hallelujah, says, I'm standing at the Father's right hand. He was standing down. The job is finished, though. The job is finished. He's sitting at the Father's right hand because He done beat the devil. Hello. He done whipped him. Amen. Oh, come on. Let's go. Having not done all to stand, I sit. Having not done all to stand, I sit. But really, that's usually the true statement with most people because they haven't done all to stand. That's why they're sinning. That's why they're not above the world. Because they haven't done all to stand. They're still sinning. Come on. Hallelujah. And lest I be raised up and thrown beyond the usual mark, through the revelation that God gave me, there was given to me a messenger of Satan, lest I am lifted up and thrown above measure. God wants us to be exalted above measure. Amen? We're to be above the world and not a part of it. We're in it, but not a part of it. We're more than what they are. We're blessed. We're delivered. We're set free. Amen? Hallelujah. People who have heard the truth but never act upon it live on the same realm as an unbeliever. Satan realized that God had given him revelation, so he sent a messenger to buffet him. And that's why some of you and we are buffeted so often, because God wants to bless you and bring you above measure, but we've got our mind so... We keep our thought life, our mind, our whatever, so concentrated on the mountain that we forgot what God told us to do to the mountain.
Right.
Amen? We keep saying, I can't, because there's a mountain in my way. God says, speak to it. Amen? Speak to the mountain. Remove it. Hallelujah. If you knew who you are in Christ, not any mountain would... That's two negatives. No mountain would be impossible. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Did you know, if you know who you are in Christ, if you were the righteousness in Christ, of God through Christ, you would never be sick. Now, wait a minute. Now we're getting into some philosophy. I didn't say sickness won't come knocking at your door. But that's when our brother said, let faith answer the door, and there won't be any there, everybody there. Amen. You know, that we are a three-part being. We are a spirit. We live in a body. We might have a soul. Okay. Did you know my wife said your body has a voice. Your soul has a voice. Your spirit has a voice. Come on. Now, all my kids' life, they've heard me say, I never get headaches. Now, the other day, my head was hurting so hard. Oh, I mean, it was hurting bad. I think I took about 6 Advils and ibuprofens, whatever. It was hurting, but I never get headaches. Now, watch me now. How many knows that the words I'm speaking are seeds? Even Mark chapter 4 says, my word is seeds, right? Seeds planted in good soil produce good fruit, right? So my spirit knows the Word of God is good seed. So my spirit is speaking when I say I have no headaches. But my flesh, those seeds, when I speak in the Spirit, I'm speaking God's Word so that those seeds will come right around, be sown in me, and produce good fruit. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, whenever I said my head hurts, that's my flesh speaking. My body says, my head hurt. If you're saying, too many people, when the faith gets out of hand and people don't understand faith, they could have 110 degrees fever. They could have, chicken pox all over them. And somebody says, are you sick? No, by his stripes I'm healed. You don't understand what faith is. You're sick, buddy. Amen? But by his stripes you can be healed. Now, I said can be. But the Bible says you were. Amen. In other words, years ago it was settled that I was healed. Amen. Sickness comes knocking at my door. Hello? I'm not walking in the Spirit. I'm out there doing something, whatever. I'm not even paying attention on it, and sickness comes in. Come on. It happens to us, doesn't it? Sickness comes in. But I still have the authority to command it to leave. Because I was healed way back then, 2,000 years ago. But until I take that authority and realize who I am, it doesn't leave. Come on. We are the head of our own body. You are in charge of everything that comes into your body. You are in charge of everything that goes out. And whatever goes out could be sowed back in you. You reap what you sow. And every word that you say, oh, my back's killing me, those are seeds that you just sowed back into your body. Come on now. Jackie's dad, my wife's, my father-in-law, is a good example of this. You've heard the old saying, oh, I've got one foot in the grave and the other one on a banana peeling. Well, his was, oh, I'm blind in one eye, can't see out of the other. You know, every time he'd do something, make an accident, oh, I'm just blind in one eye, can't see out of the other. Did you know his retina became detached from one eye? He was blind in one eye, and he got cataracts over the other eye to where he could not see. They even pulled his license away from him because he couldn't see. He moved up and started living with us while we were in Bible school. We turned his talk around. I can see. By his stripes, I am healed. I can see. A doctor in Tulsa, City of Faith, called him up and says, we want to use you for a test to have your retina reattached. Went in there and no charge. Went in there and reattached his retina, took the cataracts off the other eye. He has 20/20 vision in that eye. But the pain was so much that it wasn't successful. It came loose again. Unattached itself. But he didn't want to go through the pain of that surgery in that eye anymore. But he could have. He could have had 20/20 in both eyes, the doctor said. But we turned his talk around. And now he's got his license back again. He's driving all over the place with one eye. But that's a good example of how it does it. The seeds you sow, the words you sow, are life and death. Amen? Oh, that's getting off the... Come on. Why do Christians suffer? If you receive revelation from God and begin to act on them, then buffeting takes place to keep you seated. Amen? Satan wants you to seek those things that clothe you, that feed you, and quench your thirst so that you forget to seek God first, and you end up remaining a beggar. God said there are people that are so captivated on their mountain that they forgot what God told them to do with the mountain. Amen. All this makes me ask the question, what were the revelations that Paul received? The revelations about righteousness. Revelations that will lift you up and get you exalted above the world. Amen? Hallelujah. Did Jesus know who he was in relationship to the Father? Yes, he did. Amen. Hallelujah. Was he in a class above others? Was Jesus in a class above everyone else?
Yes.
Well, did you know if you're in the same relationship as Jesus is, so are you. Come on. Hallelujah. What will that revelation of your righteousness do to you? It will lift you up above everyone else. Amen? Righteousness is very important. Righteousness is the most important to know, right? Thank you. Did you know, I don't care how enthusiastic a preacher can say a statement, just because he's enthusiastic about it doesn't make it true. That's not how you judge the Word. You judge the words according to the Word. Knowing who your Father is the most important thing. Because if you don't know who your Father is, you can't know your position in Him. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pentecostal reply. A statement of boldness must be true. That's a Pentecostal reply. No. A statement boldly spoken must be true. No. You got to judge it according to the Word. Amen? Hallelujah. Don't judge truth by the way it is presented or who presented it. Judge truth by the Word of God. A lot of times, I've let our own guard down when we get excited. Hello? We do, don't we? Because there's some ministers out there that are so enthusiastic about preaching something that they believe in, and it could be completely false. And they could win a lot of people over. That's why there's so many different denominations. Hello? Know who your Father is number one. Know who you are in the Father is number two. Hallelujah. You are blinded. If you are blinded from the light of the gospel, then you are in the dark concerning the blessings. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Paul's revelation of knowing how to be right with God. Hey, oh, this is good. Amen. I'm enjoying this. Mark says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. What's the difference between preaching and teaching? Preaching is proclaiming. Teaching is explaining the proclamation. The world needs preaching. The church needs teaching. Because there's a lot of people in the church that just got saved and that's as far as they've gone. That's why Paul said, grow up! Amen? Hallelujah. Jesus said, feed my sheep. My people are being destroyed because of lack of knowledge. They're not being destroyed because of lack of enthusiasm or excitement. There's a lot of churches have a lot of excitement in it. A lot of, enthusiastic about everything they do. But where's Christ? Come on now. Hallelujah. Preachers will preach. Preachers will proclaim, declare, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. Who was the only evangelist? Philip. Did you know he didn't even have a copy of any sermons? Paul is our example of how to obtain righteousness. The world knows that they are not right with God. The world knows that they're not living right. The world knows that they're not going to heaven. They know that they're dirty. They know that they don't deserve God's goodness. But they don't know how to get saved because we're holding it all in here. Simply because the church is not even knowing who they are. The church don't even know their position, who they are in Christ. Amen? If we just know who we are in Christ, we'd be anxious and running out there to tell them. Come on. We'd be bubbling inside so much that we'd have to share it with somebody. We couldn't hold it in. Jesus is the good news. Paul's message is telling the heathen how God made man righteous through Jesus and his death. Hallelujah. You are not an evangelist unless you could preach righteousness. The world is ignorant of God's way. Amen. Hallelujah. Paul's message. Number one, man's condition without righteousness. Number two, how God made righteousness available to man. Number three, what righteousness is. Number four, how righteousness is obtained. Number five, the benefits of righteousness. Number six, responsibility of righteousness. Amen. We have a lot to do, don't we? We've got a lot to do. But praise God, we're above the world. Simply because of the gift that God has given us, we can stand before God Almighty. Whoo! Man. The devil knows that if you get into a good position with God, that you are uncontrollable. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He can no longer control you. I don't care how many blows he gives you. If you have righteousness, if you are the righteousness of God through Christ, he can't get to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. When you understand righteousness, all hell will break loose. People who never heard and people who have heard but lives distracted by blow after blow live on the same level. It's like a marriage of a believer and an unbeliever. You know, even as a pastor, whenever a couple comes together and they live together before they get married, you know, I don't put in the vows what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Because God did not put them together. Sex did. Come on. What happened to the long engagements? What happened to getting to know people on the soulish realm before the physical realm? Did you know the vows that says, who giveth her hand in marriage, is way back then, because in the Bible days, you're not even allowed to touch them until after you get married. Not even hold their hand. That's why the vow says, who gives her hand? Amen. Now you may kiss the bride. That should be the first time they ever kiss. Come on, people. If you want to do things by the law, if you're bound by the law today, why don't you do the whole law? Amen. Hallelujah. If you've heard me preach on eagles, you know about the time. Oh, let's go. It is the very thing that Adam and Eve lost, is their righteousness. That's the thing that they lost. The moment sin came in, they lost their right standing with God. God instituted a plan to put man back into that place with Adam and Eve, but accomplished it with Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. The things that will come, the benefits of righteousness, the things that will come because of who you are in Christ. I am not comparing our righteousness with Adam and Eve's righteousness. Because our righteousness cost Jesus His life. If Adam and Eve had never sinned, it would not have cost Jesus His life. Come on. Ours cost Him. God's original intention for man are His eternal intentions for man. His intentions for man never change just because Adam and Eve sinned. Come on. Hallelujah. They never changed. Hallelujah. God is still the same today. Hallelujah. Genesis 1:20 says, let them have dominion over them. The ability to exercise dominion. That's a benefit of knowing who you are in Christ. You can cause the sun to stand still. You can move a mountain. Hello? Hallelujah. Your ability to reign is completely dependent upon your position with God. If it wasn't for your position, you would not have the right to have dominion on this earth. That's because of who your Father is. Amen? Who you are determines what authority you are capable of functioning in. Who you are determines what authority you function in. I have no authority over your kids because of who I am. I'm not their parents. You have no authority over my children because you don't have that position. See? You, who you are, determines Who you are determines what authority you are capable of functioning in. Who you are. I have more than you because of my position. Amen? Over my children. Who you are determines what your authority is capable of influencing. Come on. If you're no threat to the devil, then you're no influence to him. Right? You know, James says, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Notice the order of that. First of all, you've got to submit yourself to God before you can resist the devil. Submitting to God automatically causes you to resist the devil. Submitting to the devil automatically causes you to resist God. Come on. So submit yourself to God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness. Then all these areas of authority will be added to you to accomplish the gifts of the Spirit in your life. Come on. That's where you'll have influence. Your authority will have more influence when you're submitted to God because He's got to flee. Come on. He has to. No position with God, no authority. Unbelievers have no authority over sickness and disease. Am I running out of time? Okay. Who you have your position with determines what you have authority over. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. God said, if I didn't conquer it, then you have no authority over it. Hello? Did you know God did not conquer man? God conquered sin, the devil. Hello? Because if he conquered man, then when we're in right standing with God, we have authority over man. Right? But we don't. We don't have authority over anybody. If we did, I command you to pay your tithes. Hello? Hello? Come on now. I command you to love one another. We don't have the authority over man. We have authority over sin. Hallelujah. Never, God never gave Adam and Eve dominion over humans. God gave dominion over things that creepeth on the earth. A lot of people are trying to have victory in their home, but they are not being submitted to God in their home. Lay aside your idea, your opinions, and do that of another. That is what submitting is. Too many people, husband and wife, do not know what submission is. Hello? Submission is laying your idea, your opinion aside, and doing that of another. If you, your husband or wife says something, or your husband says something, and the wife says, yeah, okay, you'll do that. That is agreement, not submission. That's why I've asked my kids to be engaged at least a year before they get married. Because I want them to go through an argument. I want them to go through a fighting. I want them to have a chance to learn submission. Hello? Because there's lots of marriages that they get and fall in love with. Oh, and they get married right away, and the first argument, boom, divorce. First chance, the first test that they have for submission, they fail it. They don't know what submission is. Because our body wants to, I'll never forget. I come home, I sit down, the Spurs championship game. First game in my life I ever get to watch on television of basketball. I mean, I just never did watch it. You know, I pray God. And I sit down, and I mean, I'm sitting there, and they blow the whistle, the game starts, and within a minute, God says, go pray. And I mean, I almost heard him verbally. God. And to this day, I have never watched a basketball game on TV. But it was a chance for me to submit. We need to learn to submit to the Holy Ghost. Hello. That's where we usually fail. Amen. I remember whenever we moved back to Texas, we're pastoring a Spanish church and had to use an interpreter for everything. You know, my wife was in rebellion. Yeah. She kept, I'd show her the scripture that says, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land. And she kept saying, says, I am obedient. I said, keep reading the scripture. I am obedient. Keep reading the scripture. I mean, it took about 2 weeks. Finally, she says, but I'm not willing. Amen. We need to be willing and obedient to God's word. And we'll eat the good of the Lamb. Land. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Isn't God good?
Amen.
I got that many more. But that's enough for tonight. Are you blessed?
Yeah.
Let's stand. By faith, you are delivered from every evil work. By faith. How many knows what faith is now? How does faith come?
By hearing.
You know where the name it and claim it title came from? Brother Hagin, Sr. shared a testimony of how he was first in ministry, and he had an old car with ball tires, and he was going out evangelizing, and God spoke to him and says, go get another car. So he goes to the car lot, picks out the one he wants, lays his hand on it. Lord, I want this car. This is mine. I claim it as mine because you told me to go get one. Just like he had faith to receive that $100 bill because I told him before the service, I'll give it to him. People heard that testimony. Well, I need a new car. I'll go lay hands on it. In the name of Jesus, it's mine. And it never happened. Oh, this name it, claim it don't work. They did it in sin because it was not in faith. Faith comes by hearing. If God speaks speaks to you to do something, go for it. Because where faith is, nothing is impossible to those who believe. Amen. But God, what God says to somebody, He may not tell you. Come on. But what He says in His Word is for all of us. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You that it's mighty, powerful, to the pulling down of strongholds. Father, I thank You that we are delivered because of Your Word. Because we are the righteousness of God in Christ. I thank You, Father, that no weapon formed against us is going to prosper. And as we surrender to Your Word, as we obey Your Word and resist the devil, we're more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. Father, I thank You for each and every person that's been under Your Word this night. I thank You, Lord, that those seeds that are sown will produce many fruit in their life as to in the days to come. Thank You, Father, in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I appreciate Brother Clement and his wife, Frances, helping us here at the campground from time to time and the ministry that the Lord has given him to be a blessing to the household of faith. God is looking for people in these closing days of time, minutemen for God. Now, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. When God speaks to you, you don't have to get every Tom, Dick, and Harry and go through a long rigmarole trying to find out if that's God or the devil. How many belong to the fold of God? You're one of His sheep. He said, my sheep know my voice. Now, you don't have to clear it with headquarters or hindquarters or a dozen people. If God tells you to do something, do it. I've been standing in a strange audience. God said, take $20 and fold it and give it to that man that's next to you. I hadn't even met him. And I said, well, Lord, I doubt if I have gasoline money to get back to Florida. He said, I didn't say that. I said, forgive me, Jesus. I didn't turn. Now, I'm not against this, but I didn't turn clear it with my wife. We've run this into the ground. We've run this thing. You know, there's a balance. I don't mean to compromise. There's a balance in God's Word. Now, if God tells me to give, my wife says we're going to need that for gas, and I heard from God, who am I going to obey, my wife or God? I know that may be the exception. But God doesn't speak sometimes to everybody at the same time. So I slipped that money in His hand. At the end of the service, is asking different ministers, and he stood up and said, he told where he's from. They said, didn't you graduate and take our Bible course? He said, yes. And then he began weeping. He said, I brought a delegation up, and they were Spanish people. He said, I brought a delegation up from Waco. He said, we don't have gasoline money to get home, and this brother, a total stranger. He slipped this in my hand, and I said, what? He said, shh, just praise the Lord. He said, now I've got money to go back home tonight. See, instant obedience. Well, something else. Here's a church that has a $10,000 emergency need, our congregation. Air conditioning went out, or the plumbing went out, or something else. And they said, make it a matter of prayer. And God says, that's why I let you make made that $10,000 in that business deal and sold that coffee in today. You know what those people do, American Christians, even the best? Holy Ghost people. Well, Pastor, hallelujah. Depend on me. I heard from heaven when you said you need $10,000. Now, here's what, Pastor. My wife and I, we're going to obey God. We're going to give $1,000. Now, you get nine other people to get. God didn't say get nine other people. Oh, we always figured out crazy. I want to be obedient to God. We just will trust Him everything we're going to have to in the future anyway. You're going to have to trust Him for health. You're going to have to trust Him for food. You're going to have to trust Him for everything. Thank You, Jesus, we can trust You. Amen?
Amen.
Now, can He trust us? Can He trust us? Lift your hands. Lord, we love You. We praise You. We worship and honor and adore You. Please, Lord Jesus, make me a channel. Make me a channel of blessing. First of all, to the kingdom of God. and to heaven. Then make me a blessing, Lord, with everyone I come in contact with. May I build them up in the most holy faith. May I stay in talking distance with you, I pray, and hearing distance with you, and give me an obedient, willing heart. In Jesus' name, Lord, I expect financial miracles to bless not only me, but to bless the body of Christ, to bless the ministries you placed in our midst, and bless this sin-cursed world by getting the truth and the gospel. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. It's coming. It's on its way. It's mine. It's paid for. The victory is won. I am more than a conqueror. Greater is he that is in me.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com.
There are hundreds of free audio files there.
It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.